Right now it is time for Judy Wertman and Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Simon Loses His Tummy, the Kindle edition, and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. Ladies and gentlemen, if she still wants to come on with us this morning, God bless her, here's Judy Wertman.
Hi, good morning to both of you. Wonderful stories from childhood. You can write a memoir saying, I ate dirt.
This wasn't a child.
Many people would agree with you.
The vending machine thing was a full-fledged adult. If he had been one of your clients, that would have been really interesting. So, well, what did you eat today?
Well, somebody had to eat from those machines. Anyway, today, what I talked about with you today, Jill, is something that arose when I and a group of my peers filled out I think it's annual, or maybe we get it every couple of years, form asking about our health, our physical health, our mental health, our life situation, as part of a very, very long-term health survey started, I must have been at least 30 years ago, by something called the Women's Health Initiative. And, you know, every year, every couple of years, we get this form you fill up. I was filling in little tiny circles, you know, asking you what your life is like, you know, in very specified ways, you know, including what kind of illnesses you have. And, you know, my friends and I had gotten this survey, and we were talking about one particular question that seemed both relevant and sort of absurd, given this past year, and that was, have you been depressed? And the reason it was relevant was that we all told each other, we circled yes. And the reason it seemed irrelevant was that who wasn't, you know, as we discussed with each other, who wasn't depressed this year, who did not respond to what we've all gone through and some of us are still going through during this pandemic. And we were talking about whether the survey itself, the questionnaire itself, should have had a little asterisk, you know, that said, oh, we want to know how you responded to the pandemic year. This was not simply a particular year out of the last 30 that we're simply asking you about your depression, and what happened this year is no more relevant than might have happened 10 years ago. And we were all having sort of sitting together, having some iced tea and talking about this, and one person said, well, you know, there are a couple of kinds of depressions, as most people know. There's a kind of depression that's really caused by changes in the biochemistry of your brain, the neurotransmitters that affect mood and behavior. And, you know, sometimes these depressions, sometimes associated with anxiety, just arise out of nowhere, or they may come again after they've been treated. They may come a couple of years later. But there's another kind of depression that is very much linked to the situation at hand. And, you know, the most common kind is the depression that occurs after a bereavement, after a death. But there are other kinds of depressions that simply are called situational and may be related to other stresses in your family, in your work, with your relatives, with your children, you know, chronic sicknesses, being a caretaker of somebody who's chronically ill. And it's called a situational depression or adjustment disorder with depression. Now, adjustment disorder sounds like, you know, something that your teenager or maybe even your first grader may be going through. It doesn't get along in the classroom, but this is an actual diagnostic term. So one of us Googled the symptoms of adjustment disorder, and as she read it out, we all began to laugh because I'll tell you some of them: sadness, hopelessness, lack of enjoyment in normal activities, regular crying, constant worrying, feeling anxious, sleep difficulty, trouble focusing, trouble feeling overwhelmed, and avoiding social situations. And of course, when she got to that, you know, again, we all laughed because who could participate in any kind of social situation this past year when we all had to avoid these social situations? And then we got serious and we all really communicated with each other, talked about this with each other, that just about all of us really had been depressed. It was really hard to get through this past year without being depressed. And, you know, I spoke about this with several of my friends, you know, actually sent them a copy of what I wrote and, you know, that I sent to you. And I got back these really rather very, very sad stories about almost from everybody that I sent this to, detailing how, you know, he or she had been depressed this past year and feeling so alone in the depression that, you know, not something you would talk about with somebody else, but, you know, situations where you really thought, you know, you were very anxious, that you really felt hopeless, that you weren't sure you were going to be able to get through the situation. And then I thought to myself, well, if everybody, almost everybody, went through this feeling of not being able to adjust to the current situation because it was unadjustable. It was a moving target. It kept changing, kept getting worse, better. Who knew from day to day what was going to happen? You know, and then the longer we went without seeing people and felt socially isolated, the worse it got. How can you even call this a diagnosis? It was simply what it was. It was the way we all lived through part of, some of us certainly experienced this past year. And, you know, I thought maybe the year of the pandemic of the adjustment disorder. But it was really sort of a sad commentary on what we'd gone through, you know, and
don't you think it's interesting, or at least I'm listening to all this and I'm adding it up with a note that I just got from someone. Isn't it interesting that all of these people who were connected fairly regularly via screens didn't have the wherewithal to really talk about it?
No, because, well, people, okay, the one thing people did, and that's the only thing we really could do, was talk to each other on the phone, and we would occasionally, you know, tell people how depressed we felt, but I don't think anybody really talked about how sad and hopeless they felt, because it felt very private, and it felt, you know, oftentimes, you know, unless you had a very, very close friend, people just did not share this information. What they shared was some of the symptoms. I had a friend who, you know, we actually a couple of people who just absolutely refused to go out of their house or out of their neighborhood at all. And, you know, their life was characterized by chronic anxiety, and other people who just couldn't get themselves to do anything, and you let every day just go by, just getting through. I had a friend who became a compulsive house cleaner. I mean, she would tell me in great detail how, you know, she took a Q-tip and cleaned, you know, maybe the holes where the screws went in to hold up a picture frame or something. I mean, there are people dealt with it in their own way, but I think most people thought that it was something that they had to deal with, and the only thing I think that really did help was calling up somebody to complain, and we complained to each other.
Right,
and you couldn't see anybody. You couldn't give anybody any kind of physical contact, a hug, anything. And so I think the isolation made all of us who felt depressed even more isolated. And then there were situations where people had, you know, really terrible life situations. Like I had a friend whose husband just died of Parkinson's, and I made a point of calling her up every Monday morning because she would go through a weekend, and also during the weekend, because she would go through days without talking to anybody but the caregiver for her husband. She couldn't allow anybody to come to the house. She refused to go to the house because she was worried that she might get the virus and give it to him. And, you know, so we all had sort of almost a rota of people who would call her up to make sure that she wasn't alone, that we were at least communicating with her. And you could sort of repeat these stories over and over again with people who were totally isolated, and the only contact they had with the outside world was a telephone. I mean, you could text, but that was a different situation.
And
I, you know, you just realize now that things are getting better, although sadly for many people, you know, the deaths, the terrible sicknesses of this past year certainly the sorrow can never go away. It won't go away for a very, very long time. But, you know, we realize what we're coming out of. And as I said, it was so interesting that this sort of innocent-looking question, like, you know, following high blood pressure, or did you fall this year, or did you have trouble remembering things this year, you know, that it's just that everybody responded and thinking that she was unique in responding this way. But, of course, we weren't.
Oh, well. It's always nice to think that you're unique. Thank you.
Anyway, so I think that if one is going to look up the definition of something called adjustment disorder with depression, that one has to have a footnote saying these symptoms may not apply during a pandemic.
I think that is a very good idea. Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman.
Bye-bye.
Food for Mood.
Of course, you can hear Judy right here on Robin Hood Radio every Thursday morning, right around, give or take a few minutes, 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. All right. Why isn't this stopping?